Great, welcome everyone. Do we have any members of the public present?
We do not today.
Great. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Not that I have.
Hearing none. May I have an acknowledgement of the meeting minutes of December 23, please?
I'll acknowledge them.
Thank you, David. All right, moving to new and continuing business. Looks like we're going to have a review and discussion of the LCAS spay and neuter voucher form.
Yes, so let me... Yes, so it should be, there should be a copy, actually two copies in your packet. Oh, excuse me. Drop the volume there on the screen a little bit. So you'll have one copy that will, let's see. Well, the first copy you have, there's another copy that has some information highlighted. So the one that does not have any highlighted, that's kind of what we'll go over first, and then the second one is the one we'll talk about a little bit afterwards. So on the first form that you have, that's the current version of the application and voucher for spay and neuter assistance. So it looks like we might have a member of the public as well. Hi. Welcome. Oh, no, you're fine. And then, Linda, I think we forgot to do it in the beginning, but if it's okay, if we could do just a quick round of introductions as well.
Absolutely.
I'm David Calderwood.
Virginia Kaiser.
Tasha Williams-Antoine.
Sasha Elliott. Stacy Manning, Senior Animal Welfare Officer for Lane County Animal Services.
And Nathan Mitchell-Hooks with General Services. Have a member of the public.
Luann Cook. I volunteer with CRAN, Cat Rescue Adoption Network.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Ryan Zuniga, County Commissioner.
And Linda Kornheim, co-chair.
Perfect. Well, thank you. And then since you were a little bit upset after we did the question for public comment, was there any public comment you wanted to provide?
I just want to introduce myself. My name is Luann. I volunteer with CRAN. I rescue cats.
Okay. Much appreciated. Okay. The first thing I figured we could probably speak about was the application and voucher for spay and neuter assistance. So the form that you have in front of you, that's the current format of the form. Oh, looks like we have another member walking in as well. Hello.
Sorry, everyone. I was outside the train.
No problem. And then we just finished introductions. Perfect. And then if you could just state your name for the record. That'd be awesome.
Bernadette
Vieron. Perfect. Okay. So Bernadette, I've probably mentioned it a couple times, but in your packet, you'll have a few different forms. You'll have two that are for the application and voucher for spay and neuter assistance. So the first one that we're kind of speaking about is the one that doesn't have the highlighted information. It's a current version of the form. In the last meeting, we spoke about the income guideline kind of limits and adjusting those because they were pretty low. So at the time, and I misspoke, so I did want to kind of clarify as well. So on the current form that we have, it does align with the 2023 poverty guidelines, which you can find. I'm happy to forward you a copy of the document. But it does list those from essentially being a one-person household to an eight-person household. And then what we've done to kind of help with the qualifying guidelines is to double that. So what it looks like now is if a person makes less than $29,000 as a one-person household, then they would qualify for voucher assistance.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to turn your attention to the other voucher form. So we spoke with staff to kind of figure out, understanding that if we want individuals to be able to utilize it more, what can we do to try to remove as many barriers as possible? And what we kind of came up with is instead of doing the double or 200% essentially of the poverty guidelines, moving those up to 300%, which seems to be a fairly common number for public assistance related programs. So what that would do is increase that limit from 29,000 for a one person household to 43,000, which is, I feel, is a lot more reasonable and likely for someone to be able to probably qualify within that. So historically, there's also a document that you have, which should say the 2015 temporary, let's see. Yes, yeah, it might be the last one in your packet. Temporary spay and neuter voucher program. So we went back through some historical records just to see, well, why did we kind of choose the limits we chose? What was some of the background from the program? And we were able to find this. So this was essentially, from our knowledge, we're still kind of looking back through records, but this was either near the start or was the start of the voucher program. And it really is a nice little document that kind of sums up some of our intentions with the voucher program. So it was designed, oh, perfect. How's it going? Okay, then I will pause for a moment. Okay. All right, so Chair Bartlett, we were just kind of going through the spay and neuter voucher documents. There's two included within your packet near the very end. We're ultimately just showing that the first one is the current version of the document that you know for your reading, and then there's another document that looks very similar. This is kind of the proposed update that we would be looking at, where the only change really is the qualifying amount has been changed or increased from 200% or double the income guideline to 300%. Which should help to make the voucher kind of qualification a lot more accessible for people. And then I was kind of just briefly speaking about the 2015 temporary spay and neuter voucher program document that's included within your packet as well. So that's just kind of an informational document. We were just were able to locate that in our historical records. It just gives a little bit of background as to why we kind of initiated the spay and neuter voucher program, some of our intentions behind it. One of the things that it does mention is it really was targeted towards low-income individuals as a means to help them with those procedures. So I think that was some of the intent as to why we do have qualifying income levels, just so that...
Did we find out if we could add an extra amount for rabies vaccine or something like that?
You know what? We did not check on that, but I will have that for the next meeting, though. So let me make a note here. So just an additional amount to help cover that.
Okay. Cover the rabies, yeah.
It was supposed to include rabies voucher help.
Okay.
What's this temporary?
Yes, when was this written? Was this written in 2015?
This is nonsense.
Or this
what, that's written in 2015.
This about 2004.
So was this written in 2015?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
By whom?
Likely
simply because
our...
Because I object to some of the language in it.
Oh, sure.
If
so, I mean,
in 2015, no issue.
Yeah, no,
it's current. I'll have
yeah, but just sure. Temporary.
No, that was just it's just a historical record or a historical document. Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, sure. So it's just a historical document. It's not one that we're actively using or advertising today. It was just when we were going through some of our documents to try to find out about kind of our original intent for the program. This was one that was a good summary of some of those intentions, essentially.
But this, I don't know who put in, inserted this word temporary in here.
I'd have to probably look back at the original, maybe.
No, I mean, this was when our task force, the comprehensive task force, mm-hmm. of what, 2002?
Three.
2003, as an outgrowth of that, the county board instituted this policy, and the city of Eugene also, with Councilor, that former sheriff, what's his name?
I don't remember the city councilors.
He instituted it at the city. And then we were told last week that somehow someone decided not to continue that within the animal services of the city, but I don't think the city council decided that.
I see.
No. But that's immaterial, you're saying?
Yes, I mean, this is, yeah. I mean, what we could probably use this for is a good maybe framework for documenting that. I don't know if it's probably, I mean, the as you mentioned, the program's been in existence for quite some time, but I don't know probably how recently we've really looked at our intent for the program. So I think it would...
I would say get rid of this word temporary.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, applicants are to fill out the temporary. That's kind of a control word.
Okay, if we're going to talk about words, I've got one too.
Can you say it in mixed company?
Yes, I can.
Oh.
With you here as well.
Okay.
In the second paragraph, it says the unincorporated areas of Lane County have a pet overpopulation problem. That's passed. We do not have an overpopulation problem anymore.
Oh, for sure.
Now, you can say, if you incorporate any of this language, you can say past overpopulation problem.
Sure.
But not current.
Are you sure about that?
And the yes, I am. We have thousands of dogs being imported into the county every month. And if we had an overpopulation problem, that would not be able to be happening.
That's understandable.
There's room at the end. That's the issue.
Well,
sure.
Where's that word?
In past, yes, we have had. Second paragraph up here.
Where is
the first sentence, second paragraph. In the past, we have had that issue.
Hmm. But well, why don't we just say have had?
Sure, pass. Sure, that's fine.
Put yeah. Add in there.
Sure.
We can certainly
have had.
If you're going to use this language.
Right.
I would
yeah.
appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem at all. I think I will admit that I haven't really gone through. I'm sure a lot of the statistics that are featured in it.
Add a huge oversupply of breeder, backyard breeder.
No. All right.
Yeah.
I know, I'm just a visitor. This spay-neuter voucher is for cats as well as for dogs?
Yes.
It's yes.
I would disagree with you, Ben. We have an overpopulation problem throughout the state of Oregon, not just Lane County.
Well, then it should specify the difference between cats and dogs, because we don't have wanted dogs.
But
it does just say pet.
I mean...
It says pets.
Would Janetta Overholser agree that there's no problem of overpopulation of cats and
probably not.
Feral cats?
Probably not.
And abandoned dogs and cats?
Those of us that are in animal rescue, specifically I'll talk about cat rescue because that's what I do. We are a volunteer group. We took care of more than 800 cats and kittens in 2023.
Were you aware that there were even rescue groups bringing cats in?
Yes, yes, and
that should
I,
not happen.
I'm not privy to why they're doing that.
Yeah, that should not happen.
But we're not the only rescue group.
Right.
There's several of us out there, private, nonprofit, all volunteer
right.
rescue groups taking care of the cat population and overpopulation throughout Lane County. If you didn't have rescue groups helping with your cats, you'd have a lot more people complaining about kittens dying in their yard and cats pooping in their yard and things like that. So I'm all for spay and neuter
sure.
for cats.
Sure, we.
What's the name of your group?
Cat Rescue and Adoption Network, CRAN.
CRAN?
Yep.
And what is your name? I'd like to know.
Luann. It's one word, Luanne.
And what's your first name?
That is my first name.
Could you spell your last name, please?
Yeah, it's Koch.
K
K-O-C-H. Kutch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Like the mayor of New York?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, except in this town it's cut. It rhymes with duck.
Well, you do good work. And
thank you.
Now, where is the area that you personally interface with?
Lane County over about as far as maybe Veneta and all the way over to Oak Ridge and all the way up to the Linn County line and all the way down to God Bless Janetta and Cottage Grove.
Well, Luann, you do important work. Thank
you. We think so.
I wanted to clarify the unincorporated areas of Lane County. At our last meeting, we had said anywhere outside of the city limits of Eugene. Mm-hmm. I just want to confirm that that's what this is utilized for. So residents of Cottage Grove and Crestwell and Springfield, Markholt, like those areas, mm-hmm. they're still able to apply for this?
No, that's
not.
Not
the city
limits. Not.
No.
Well,
the last meeting we had, we were talking in view of the fact that they haven't been utilized and that the funds that accrue, even the 5%, is sent back to the general fund or it's folded into the agency's budget or whatever. In view of that, since Lane County, Eugene is a seat of Lane County, and since animals don't know that jurisdiction, whereas if there is and if there are funds available to help indigent and poor people in real need of having their pets, you know, sterilized, we shouldn't discriminate against them.
So from what I was able to find out kind of after speaking with our staff, it is limited to citizens of unincorporated Lane County, as the majority of our system and operations are focused to that demographic. So, for example, with the spay and neuter voucher program, the way it works essentially is that in order for clinics to determine the qualifying, you know, or qualification of members or members of the public who want to utilize the voucher, they actually run their address through our system, which tells them whether or not they are within unincorporated Lane County jurisdiction.
But that's a distinction we shouldn't be having.
Well, the reason why we...
I don't even recall who imposed that. We had one staff member before who kept on saying this.
Sure, the lawyers did.
No.
Well, so the reason, or at least...
You mean the Lane County elections serves people in Eugene and Springfield, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are...
That's not Lane County government, though.
Yes, it is. Of course
elections.
It is.
Well,
Lane County elections is.
Maybe you're right.
And there are cities, small cities in... there are small cities here in Lane County that do not have animal services agencies.
Sure.
So what are we supposed to do for dogs that go between jurisdiction or cats?
So that has to do with, and again, I'm not, you know, the expert or authority on it, but I believe that has to do with the way licensing is set up. So because the city of Eugene and Springfield have their own separate licensing, we're trying not to essentially double license a pet.
Oh,
so
we don't
we're,
need to do that. Of
right.
course not.
Sure. So Officer Manning, you might be able to speak to this a little bit more, but since our task focus is in unincorporated Lane County, we've limited it to that as well to kind of help with logistics of processing.
But we don't need to adhere to that with regard to availing spay and neuter vouchers for desperately needy animal companions.
Does the city of Eugene or the city of Springfield have a spay and neuter program?
No.
I think they did at one point.
But they do not
but
now.
But I don't believe so.
And the woman who was here from the city last time, mm-hmm. a tall lady,
right.
nice,
mm-hmm.
tall, yeah. smart lady, she said they don't do it. She was going to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, because if you go back, is that comprehensive task force report on Animal Services website?
It has been.
I believe it is.
I believe so.
Have to look.
The study that, it's a seminal study that basically has underwritten a whole lot of stuff.
You're talking about the 03 report?
Yeah, and the basic raison d'etre of Save-All. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was the Save-All adoptable.
That was a subsequent
report as well.
Right.
Two reports.
Right, but the general thesis was do everything within every aspect of this to save as many adoptable, savable, treatable animals as possible, companion animals at least, you know?
Sure.
And at that time, the city, if you look at the membership in that task force, the cities of Eugene and Springfield were on it, the U of O, there were scientists, Judge St. Clair was on it, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, the city instituted the spay and neuter voucher program before the county did. Carol Pomies was the representative. And George Poling, senior moment, was the member that made the motion before the city council. I've never seen that motion reversed.
Sure. So I would say that as far as I'm aware, the voucher has been limited to unincorporated Lane County. I wouldn't say that it necessarily has to be for all eternity, but the decision to probably change that would probably be a Michael Johns decision ultimately.
Well, I don't even know where he got the authority to change it in the first place.
Well, I think it's, I mean, it might be just kind of the crossing of wires. I think it really just has to do with the limitation of our jurisdiction.
I mean, for me, you know, say in Cottage Grove, within the city limits, with the loss of Janetta for the Humane Society of Cottage Grove, we now no longer have someone who is
right.
really actively pushing for spay-neuter. There's a lot of people in that area specifically, and I know that's all over the county, that don't have access to something. Like, I had someone reach out to me personally going, hey, you know, I heard about these spay-neuter vouchers, but I live inside of Cottage Grove. And I'm like, I honestly don't know. Like, we talked about that, and I got the assumption that if you didn't live within city limits of Eugene, that yes, you could apply for it, but I don't feel like we should be excluding people who don't have access,
sure.
you know, to another program, you know, for sure, especially when that financial need is there and we have the money to do it. Does that make sense?
It does. No, certainly.
You know, I don't want to be excluding and utilizing the funds that we have to help with the overpopulation of cats or pets being brought in, you know, from outside areas,
sure.
if we have the money to do it. Like, why would we exclude them
right.
just because of their physical address?
Well, I think, no, and that's...
So is it every city limit, Cottage Grove, Crestwood, if they're in the city limit at all?
We don't handle any calls inside city limits. We're outside city limits. So that's where we're unincorporated Lane County. I don't handle any kind of call inside city of Cottage Grove or city of Benita. They have their own animal welfare officer and their own rules and their own policies that they follow.
So they can't apply for a spay-neuter thing because...
No, that's nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. The police power of urban, incorporated urban cities can be confined. So with regard to what you're saying, enforcement, all right, of animal codes, safety, mm-hmm. et cetera, yes, that's true. If a jurisdiction has its own wherewithal and set of ordinances, they have the right to do that. But that doesn't relate to other services that the county,
right.
this is the size of the state of Connecticut, might avail. And
so,
you can look at multiple county departments that serve the entire county. So whereas you cannot, say, enforce, I mean, I think for public safety, I'm sure there are certain public safety aspects that Lane County Animal Services does have the ability upon an emergency to act.
Okay, I have a recommendation. How about we recommend that Michael Johns look at this and report back to us?
Well, sure. Michael Johns...
He's the one you mentioned that makes a decision.
That's
right?
Yes.
So that's our decision maker.
Well,
we should talk to
well,
him.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Maybe
and,
not, but if,
he's
it,
not,
if he is...
Is Michael Johns working right now?
Yes. Yes. So he's our division manager.
Is he back? In?
He is. Yeah.
Well, he's attended some of
yeah,
our
because
meetings.
Because the idea was to help people of Lane County that didn't have a lot of money be able to spay and neuter their pets no matter where they live in Lane County.
Sure.
You know, and because I don't see where spaying and neutering has anything to do whether the dog bit somebody, ran loose in the neighborhood, or climbed over the fence and got grabbed by somebody else.
Totally.
Now that enforcement is a completely different thing than adding to the overpopulation and protection of animals.
Yes. So if I might kind of help to clarify, because I totally understand that, that's, you know, not a problem at all. I think it has to do with the licensing more than anything. So
cats
with
license,
that's
correct.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, so that's true.
Cats should be eligible 100% no matter
sure.
where they're living.
Yeah.
If it's a dog, let's do licensing for Lane County if they're in the unincorporated areas. Otherwise, they are responsible for getting their license for their incorporated areas.
Sure.
That's a simple solution to giving the voucher to those in need, making sure those pets are taken care of. And if it's a dog that's in an incorporated area, then they are responsible unless it's Lane County. If it's unincorporated, great, we'll go ahead and license them for that first year. If it's not, then they need to submit that paperwork to their own county or their own city.
Sure. No, and that's, I totally agree. I just, I think that's logistically why it's happened, and the decision to change that, I think, unfortunately, would be beyond.
Let me ask you.
Can we make a vote and say, we advise that it would be good and beneficial to the county residents that are of lower income and stuff to be able to apply for these vouchers no matter where they lived in Lane County as long as they were a resident?
What I would probably recommend is making this a topic for the next meeting, seeing if I can get Michael Johns to attend, because I think it also has to, it plays into a part of kind of staff logistics as well. So I don't know if that's why we haven't done that, or if, you know, we don't have the staff that could manage the increase potentially. I can't say for sure. So that's what I would probably recommend. And he might agree, he might say, you know, we definitely can do that. But I wouldn't want to, if that makes sense, to step over. Yeah.
The county instituted, upon our task force's report in the aftermath, one of the subsequent actions, was the designation of 5% of licensing revenues to be segregated and utilized for spay and neuter vouchers for qualifying
yes.
people. At that time, the county also operated the city's licensure until Green Hill, you know, took the contract.
Right.
And at that time, 5% of revenues were allocated for this. If you could determine when that 5% policy was initiated,
sure.
that would be really good. Because, I was on the budget committee for 15 years, and I don't recall any formal decision on the Board of Commissioners to reverse that policy. But somehow or other, it's just evaporated. One staff member said, well, I haven't been able to find out when it is, so we'll get rid of it, but we'll make it up some other way.
Sure.
It says right here, the funding for this program comes from the dedication of 5% of the Lane County license sales. It's the last sentence in the second paragraph. This amount is $6,750, and that was in 2015.
Yeah. And so what we've seen is there are not enough people that are aware of it.
Sure.
Or avail themselves of it. And then, what's that one organization that does just spay and neuter?
WAG.
WAG. Yeah. They decided that they don't need it for some reason. That they have their own funding source.
That they don't use the vouchers, you mean?
I don't think
they take the vouchers, I thought. Don't they take the vouchers?
Sure. WAG is?
I think so. Yes, I think so too.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, there was someone told us at one of these meetings, Oh, it's too
there troubling. There are a few organizations or clinics that have let us know that they don't want to be a part of that anymore.
Now, which clinic? The City of Eugene?
There's multiple.
There's
ones.
A few. I don't know.
Yeah, we would. I'd have to go back and look at records, but there's been multiple ones that don't want to be part of that anymore. It's too time consuming for them.
Not cost effective enough for
right.
Yeah.
For the amount that they have been getting.
Sure.
We've increased that.
But these aren't veterinary practices. These are charitable clinics or.
They're veterinary clinics.
These were veterinary clinics
in Lane County.
See, we've increased it to $100 per voucher with the possibility of getting two vouchers for the same animal.
The vets...
makes a difference, maybe.
Yes.
Some of the vet clinics just haven't really cooperated in selling licenses either and haven't cooperated when they do have quite a few clients that are from unincorporated areas. I don't believe they sell licenses to those owners, do they? Sometimes, maybe.
Not all veterinary clinics sell licensing.
Right.
Our Lane County license.
And
no.
Some of the big ones, like Westmoreland, I mean, if you ever go in there, we go to Eugene Animal Hospital, but mm-hmm. they got thousands of files there. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know that the volume of dogs that go in there that could be relicensed or initially licensed. Mm-hmm. When they got a spay-neuter, when they got a rabies shot, you know, that would make a real difference in terms of the protected return to owner as well as revenue. Anyway, we're making some progress here.
Yes, yes. No, and I will say I really do appreciate the committee's kind of, you know, passion for this, and I think all of us want to try to make it as accessible and usable as possible. I think, you know, there are some logistical maybe boundaries that exist. Why they do, I can't really speak to that, but I'm hoping maybe at the next meeting we can provide some additional clarification on that and kind of get the ball rolling on that. Because maybe at this point, maybe it would be good to look at, you know, revitalizing the program or reshaping it or you know, maybe there's something else that we can do to get it out there.
So. Well, for one thing is, with respect to license sales, and we've talked about this, and it has been successful in other animal services, you know, departments in other jurisdictions, is to increase the share of an initial license or a subsequent relicensure to the clinic, to the veterinary practice. If they say, hey, look, you know, we're harried and we don't have the administrative, blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. What makes it worth their while? I mean, we've had this discussion a lot.
We have had it many times.
And did we ever increase the amount of compensation?
I believe it was, but it wasn't significant, I didn't feel. I think it was increased.
You know, so if Jane Doe comes in with Fido puppy and gets his, you know, rabies shot and is unlicensed, the veterinary practice is obligated to send the report to whom?
Only Eugene and Junction City.
And
any practice within Eugene and Junction City, those are the only two, the mandatory rabies report, the only two. Which amounts to most of the veterinary practices in the county.
And I'll tell you, Scott, as having managed a practice in the City of Eugene, we were not mandated to report unlicensed animals. We were mandated to report licensed.
Report the rabies vaccine.
That's it.
The rabies vaccine, not the license, not right, whether the dog was licensed or not.
But rabies, whenever you gave a rabies vaccination.
We gave rabies, that's what we had to report.
Right.
And you sent that, what, electronically on the, or whatever, the hard copy or the digital copy. At some point, you sent it to what, Lane County Animal Services?
And it was up to Lane County Animal Services to cross-reference the rabies with a license to see if it's licensed. If it's not licensed, they were going to be contacted. That was the purpose of the mandatory rabies report.
And part of the problem is that the city, when they took over the licensing, because they wanted to keep all the revenue, they contracted with Pet Data in Texas. Dallas, Texas. And Pet Data doesn't want anyone messing with anything to interfere with their total access to that license revenue. And so there's a big inefficiency there.
So knowing that, is the mandatory rabies reporting for any veterinary practice within the city of Eugene effective at all?
Oh, I'm sure.
So who's checking?
I don't know. I don't do City of Eugene. We only check for everybody in Lane County.
Who's checking, Scott?
That would be City of Eugene.
Dallas, Texas? Pet Data is checking?
That's a good question to ask.
If they're not, we should get rid of it.
The county, Lane County, when they had the City of Eugene contract, did a phenomenally effective job of, you know, raised revenue, even raised $100,000 extra of charitable contributions, had pro bono veterinary discounts.
Why did they go away from it then?
What?
Why did they go away from it?
The city of Eugene was convinced that you know.
There was a cat organization called CARE that convinced the city manager that they could do animal control cheaper than they could.
They wouldn't have
to use. And
so
the city manager started looking into it and decided to go with Pet Data.
Ah, okay.
And Green Hill, we all love Green Hill.
How it started.
Green Hill doesn't have workers with the kind of benefits that county employees have, I don't believe. Retirement and health care and all that.
Sure.
Hence, they could save money by being cheap and, you know, not doing it. But it's sort of penny-wise, pound-foolish, although in terms of the welfare of animals, I think Green Hill's been great. They're being outside of city limits, notwithstanding, not as accessible to pedestrians, et cetera. They're still a cherished organization and a good partner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question for you, Scott. If Pet Data is not cross-referencing the rabies reporting and finding out if these dogs are licensed, it's still a problem for the veterinary businesses to report when it's not being used. So therefore, if it's not being used and not going to be used, it should be rescinded simply to help the veterinary practices, because they're spending money to do this and nobody's getting any benefit from it.
I think the question should be directed to the city.
It should be directed to you, because you're the one that basically was behind passing it.
But in terms of, it's one thing we don't know. Eugene has its own system, their own contractor for license management.
Right. Pet Data.
I believe Eugene has instituted, as well as the county, that when you give a dog a rabies shot, you forward that vaccination to whom? It used to be to Lane County Animal Services, and then Lane County would differentiate between jurisdiction.
We'd have to ask a vet here to who they forward it to.
Right.
Within the city of Eugene.
I mean, Vanita, at one point, LCAS was having a contract. Do we still have a contract with Vanita?
With the city of Vanita?
Yes.
No.
Or Junction City?
No.
What about Florence, though, the Florence Humane Society?
No.
I thought we were working in collaboration.
We were. They had some logistical concerns about bandwidth, essentially.
About what?
Bandwidth. So we did, so we went back, we're still kind of in the talks, but we did have to pause it, because ultimately it would be a lot to bring on, yeah.
The bottom line is, with licensing, we can maximize return to owners, and we can maximize revenue for animal services for the various incorporated jurisdictions and the county. I mean, one of the suggestions has been long time that we have a countywide animal license, but that the license is particularized by incorporated jurisdictions. So you have a county, but the three letters would be like, you know, sure. J-U-N for Junction City or V-E-N for Veneta or whatever. And so you'd know where the dog resided,
right.
But there'd be one agency to manage it. And we found many times when dogs will just get lost. And there was one dog, I forget his name, Winston or something, big article in the paper where they lived in Junction City, but that dog was found somewhere in Santa Clara like months later. And because there wasn't any license similarity, that poor dog was adopted out again. And they had to undo that adoption. And what happened was a Junction City police officer was tending to this young kid who had had his bike stolen. And the kid, according to the article, the kid said, well, I know I miss my bike, but I really miss my dog. And they tracked the dog down, but the dog went through city jurisdictional boundaries. And because there wasn't any universal licensing, they had the damnedest time. So that's been on our plate for a long time.
Yeah, quite well.
You've been an advocate for that.
Right.
You know, and
we universal licensing.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the cities are afraid, oh no, if you put us in a county thing, well, you'll get, no, they won't. They'll keep whatever revenue they want. Vis-a-vis the license revenue.
Sure.
You know? Anyway, where are we on the agenda? Well. Oh, you are co-chair. Forgive the filibuster.
Monday?
Right
now. Tuesday? Day is it.
Okay.
So just to reiterate it for the committee, the plan for the next meeting is to have Michael here so he can kind of speak to the licensure aspect. Not only the licensure aspect, but the spay and neuter voucher program.
Boundaries.
Yes, the boundaries of that, and if he has any concerns about that, and if not. So hopefully we can kind of get somewhere at the next meeting on that.
Could you also report, well, you have already reported how many vouchers have been given so far in this fiscal year?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But is there a segregated fund of 5% that is sort of segregated so we know how much
yes.
could be distributed prior to the end of the fiscal year, June 30th?
Correct. So we do have it. It's on our, the way we do budget, essentially, it's its own line. And I could tell you, I think the last time I looked, there was about 4,900 in there. So probably somewhere close to that.
Okay, there's 49 animals.
You know, there are a lot of unincorporated areas in West Lane. My God, you know, No Tie.
Mm-hmm.
Lakeside, all, you know, there's all that territory, and there ought to be some way that we can avail those mm-hmm. people and their pets, you know?
Sure.
Okay, where are we in terms of this agenda? You're conducting the meeting, are you?
Yes, unless you want to take over. We
no.
Green Hill is up. We have a report from Green Hill.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me today. We are, we continue to see an increase in activity across the board. We just wrapped up our 2023 year-end numbers, and we cared for about 5,600 animals in total last year. It's about a 20% increase compared to the previous year. And we saw a 38% increase in officer activity. I should share that is not those numbers are not unique to unincorporated Lane County. That's the organization as a whole. But in particular, the officer intake was mostly motivated by our Lane County Animal Services officers as well as the Eugene officers. We've seen an increase in overcrowding situations in both locations.
That's an incredible increase.
It's an incredible increase, yes.
A 30% increase in officer what?
38% increase in officer-initiated intake. So officers get involved if it's a seized custody situation, if there's a pending court case for suspected abuse or neglect, occasionally if there's a bite that happens within the community and the animal needs to go on bite quarantine.
I have a question. Could any of that
situations, yeah.
Could any of that be attributed to having two officers rather than one? And if so, how much?
I think that that's probably important some. To note that we consistently had both officers working in full capacity over the course of the last calendar year, and that has not been the case in previous years. Right. So I do think that's important to note, but I would say in general there's also increased activity within the community surrounding animals that are quite vulnerable and in need of a safety net.
Did some of those numbers, inflated numbers, derive from hoarding?
They did, yeah. There have been several overcrowding situations that we've worked with officers in this year. There's also, I can say there's one ongoing case right now for suspected neglect. That we're holding dogs for. There's another case that we're holding dogs for classification, potentially dangerous dog violations. We had a pig come in by a Lane County Officer Merritt, about a month ago from a neglect situation. So they're busy in the field. We are busy at the shelter, and we're working jointly to make sure that there's a protections and accessibility in place for the animals and the people that need it. Our community pet pantry has increased tenfold, I would say, over the last year in terms of being able to offer free resources for people who are needing resources to keep their families together. Our surgical center, while it's in-house, it's not a front-facing public clinic that like WAG that you were talking about previously, but we've seen an increase in that activity as well. We performed over 3,300 spay and neuter surgeries last year, and about a third of those were allocated towards free-roaming community cats. That's not all the surgeries we do, because we also will do amputations and mutilations, like all sorts of work to help the shelter animals, but a significant amount has been dedicated to free-roaming cats within the community as well, in an effort to reduce any potential overcrowding situations.
A third have been, repeat that, would you?
So out of the approximately 3,300 spay and neuter surgeries
so
we did last year, about 1,100 were specifically for community cat, large colonies of community cats.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It would be helpful if we knew why there was such an increase. Like, where did these animals come from? Like, why did they come to the shelter? If there's any way for Green Hill or Animal Control to try and figure out what's going on, there's something going on, whether it can't be just the increase of Animal Control officers.
Yeah.
Well, they're feral cats, right?
No, she's talking about all intake, right?
So we're seeing an increase across the board in all intake. So officer-initiated, stray, at-large coming in, owner-surrendered has increased as well. The hoarding situations in particular tend to be, I don't want to speak for all of them, but in one situation it was somebody who thought they could make some money by breeding dogs and selling the puppies, and they saw great success in that during COVID when everybody was getting additional money, and then they stopped being able to place those dogs or sell those dogs, but they continued to breed at the same pace, and so it very quickly became an overcrowded situation with no outlet. Yeah.
That's why you're looking at surrenders.
But if you can, like, I know about the importation issue that we were seeing. Is any of that attributable to that?
I don't know.
That would have to question the owner. If you got it from an owner, mm-hmm. where did you get this dog?
Mm-hmm.
Did it come from a breeder here outside of the area? Did it come from the importation? Where did it come from?
Yeah, that's a good
If you could find that out, that would help a lot. We already have a law addressing the organizations that were imported. That's already a done deal, so that's not an issue.
Correct.
But it would help to know that if that was part of the issue.
Correct. Okay, I'll look into it.
Okay.
The only other activity to report that I wanted to share is that we have been working since December 1st with Lane County. Lane County received grant funding from the state, specifically from a bill that was passed earlier this year for the Oregon Housing and Community Services bill. It is it's a program specifically for emergency housing for population within the community that doesn't have a place to go. And for one of the first times, they have allocated specific money towards animals that are associated with people that need temporary emergency housing throughout Lane County. And they're setting up several shelters throughout the county. It's different than like an Eagan Warming Center where it just activates when it's below freezing and then it shuts down. It's a more of a stepping stone into potentially permanent housing. And so we submitted for a qualification survey a couple months ago and have been awarded a portion of that grant funding to basically be the safety net when individual humans enter an emergency shelter situation. If they have a companion animal with them, then the shelter workers through Lane County government will contact us. They'll ask us for anything from basic supplies, food, transportation crates, all of the tangible items, as well as potentially veterinary medical care. Spay and neuter is included in that, microchipping, vaccinations, grooming, medically necessary grooming, as well as some other services will be provided.
But will you give them shelter as well?
We will if need be. They will be allowed to shelter with their humans in the new shelter setup, which is a big step in the right direction. But if they do need temporary boarding at Green Hill, we will offer that as well. That's kind of an extension of our crisis care program where we offer temporary boarding for animals-connected people who are hospitalized, incarcerated, escaping domestic violence, or in sometimes evacuated for natural disasters.
Yeah.
Purina has a program that's very similar that you could apply for funding with them as well. If you guys are interested, I'll be time-wise. Okay. But Purina does offer a similar type thing, so they help with keeping people housed and those fleeing like domestic violence, stuff like that. So
yeah,
you know, they've been pushing that a little bit more the last few months.
Yeah.
Another avenue.
That's great. We'll look into that. The Lane County Emergency Housing grant started December 1st. It runs through June 30th of 2024, and then I believe it has the opportunity to renew again going into the next fiscal year. So,
and who was the grant through?
Lane County, it's the Emergency Housing Assistance Services Grant, and I believe it's Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. In Lane County that is directing the work and the allocation of this support.
Can I ask you a question? You were saying that part of these, the influx of animals are surrendered animals, mm-hmm. or whatever. I know lots of fellow leading humane societies try to counsel a would-be surrenderer into finding a way to hold on, either by talking to the landlords of apartments or finding some maybe financial resource or whatever. Do you have some success in counseling people that are, you know, really not wanting to give away their animal but are at their wit's end?
Sometimes. So we use the phrase pet retention as part of a program to keep families together with their companion animals and try to prevent or deter shelter intake. And so we do use anything from tangible items like food, leashes, collars, martingale collars for dogs that continue to slip their collars and run at large, and items. We even have a program where we can deliver free supplies to people within a 10-mile radius of Green Hill. It's a partnership with DoorDash and the United Way. So if people are just trying to decide whether or not they can care for their companion animal, or they may need to surrender their companion animal because of purely a lack of resources, we're absolutely able to step up and assist with that. For behavior, we do have a staff that are able to consult with people who are experiencing behavior issues, primarily with dogs, but also with cats, and determine is there something that they can change in the environment or something that they can do to assist the animal to create a behavior that's more conducive to living in a home prior to surrendering. There are times when they, by the time they reach out to us, that human-animal bond has been broken, and there's no amount of resources that we can offer that would change that. They're really done. But we do offer rehoming on your own resources as well, so that we can create a managed intake for those owner surrender appointments, because the rest of the appointments that, well, not appointments, the rest of the intakes that we're dealing with are unscheduled and generally come in quite frequently and in waves. So we do try to have those conversations ahead of time, absolutely. And then oftentimes it's identifying where did this animal come from in the first place. So we are we're currently not taking in healthy cats that are found wandering in the community. We'll scan them for a microchip. We'll look to see if they match any of our lost reports so that they can get back to a person that may be looking for them. But if they're in good body condition, if they're healthy or thriving and just happen to wander into somebody's front yard or take a nap on somebody's front porch, we're not facilitating shelter intake at that time. We're really using our resources for the most vulnerable population, which includes sick, injured, maybe threatened with an act of violence, pregnant, neonatal, bottle babies. And because cats are allowed to be free roaming, we ask the finder, scan for a microchip, talk to your neighbors, put some information up on social media, put a paper collar on them that identifies you found them and you're concerned about them, and then put them back where you found them and monitor. So that's an important way too to manage our population and to help educate the public around exactly what the shelter is for.
As I recall, the city of Eugene initially was going to drastically reduce its appropriation for animal services. And in the press, they were talking about how the city would no longer finance the acceptance by Green Hill, I suppose, of healthy animals that regular citizens, Good Samaritans, brought to them. My understanding was, and I worked with Matt Keating on this, and they restored most of that. They didn't restore that funding?
So a new contract has yet to be negotiated or signed. We are currently in our third extension of the contract that expired June
30th,
2023.
Wow.
And so in that contract, did you take in surrendered healthy animals by Good Samaritan citizens?
In the scope of services for the Eugene contract, it did allow for both Good Samaritans as well as officers and
right.
first responders to bring
right.
animals in.
Right.
For Good Sam's bringing animals in, it's up to shelter capacity. And so it allowed for some conversation around capacity for care and the type of animals that should be prioritized for intake, pregnant neonatal bottle baby in danger, injured, sick, versus healthy free roaming cats.
Okay. Sasha, thank you.
Thank you.
Great report, Sasha, thank you. Do we have a report from Lane County Animal Services?
No, I don't really have anything new other than what Nathan already talked about, the spay and neuter vouchers.
All right.
And then
thank you.
One thing I will kind of mention real quick is we do have, I know we haven't really talked about it in a while, but we do have a vacancy. So we'll be kind of looking and seeing what type of vacancy it is for our committee. And it could be a commissioner appointed one, or it could be, trying to think of what the term. Yes.
At large.
At large, thank you. It could be an at large vacancy. So we'll have to go back and look, but we'll be posting that and discussing it more in the near future. So.
I would say one thing. We kind of tossed around the whole question of spay and neuter vouchers and trying to avail them to Lane County residents wherever they lived if they had the financial need and if their pets really needed to be spay and neutered.
Sure.
With respect to not breeding, et cetera, unwantedly. And if it requires the Board of Commissioners to clarify this, to say that when funds that have been segregated for this are available, then they may be made available to citizens outside of unincorporated Lane County, i.e. within Florence or Junction City or Crestwell or whatever. Mm. So I mean, it seems like it's not necessary to have to go through that whole process. Mm. But if we do, we could ask for the good services of our county liaison here. And fact is, we're all Lane County residents. Mm. And so it's kind of a distinction without a difference in terms of who owns animals and the whole thing.
Sure.
Okay.
No, that's totally understandable. But that's all I had.
Madam Chair, when is our next meeting?
On Monday, February 12th.
At the appointed 4 p.m. hour?
Appointed time. 4 p.m.
Are we adjourned?
Are there any other items that we're going to be putting on next month's agenda?
Well, we've just discussed
yes.
a lot of them.
Yeah.
And Nathan, maybe you could email us a recap of some of the continuing
sure.
issues we're talking about.
Yeah. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be really great. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. And what we'll probably do then is look out for that probably midday tomorrow, but I'll send a little summary to the committee.
Yeah. Madam Co-Chair, thank you for your job. I'm sorry for the filibusters.
All right, then if we have nothing else, I'll call for adjournment.
So
thank
moved.
You.
This is for you. Pay attention. This is a